This is truly the prophet, the one who is to come into the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Gospel this morning is from a very important chapter of John's Gospel. Of course, they're all important, but for Catholic Christians, chapter 6 is most important for us. It's a long chapter, it's 71 verses, and we're going to be hearing this from this chapter next weekend and the weekend after that. Now, next weekend I will be away. I'll be on vacation with some priest friends to northern Wisconsin. Father John of Boise will be here next weekend. But the following weekend I'll give you why this chapter is so important. I'll just say a little bit about it now. Because it has to do with faith. Faith in the words of Jesus. Do we believe them or not? Now here, in this first part of the reading, next week the second part, the third part, Jesus performs this wonderful sign of multiplying loaves and fishes. Those who know Scripture would remember from the book of Kings, Elisha did the same thing. Could he be the prophet? Who's this prophet? Well, Moses had promised them that someone like him would come to the Jews. And for 1,500 years, the Jewish people were looking for the prophet. And so they start testing Jesus. Jesus, are you the prophet? Well, next week he'll talk about manna was given to the Jewish people in the old days. But now the Lord will give them the bread of life because Jesus is the bread of life. The Jews will finally scoff at him. But then he does not back down. He'll say, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life in you. For my body is true food and my blood is true drink. And then the saddest line of Scripture follows. Many of his disciples left him because that saying was too hard. But for Catholic Christians, following the apostles, we believe those words of Jesus. In faith, we believe they're true. But many have fallen away one time or another. I heard a statistic, I don't know the exact parameters of this poll that was taken, but in youth between 14 and 25, 50%, almost 50%, have never been inside a church. The faith is being dissipated. People no longer believe. This is not just a Catholic church, it's all churches. So our Holy Father is calling for a year of faith. I've been mentioning this document that he put out last October, calling for a year of faith to start on October 11th. It's called the Porta Fidei. And he's asking for a new year of faith to revitalize what we believe, because it is all about the faith. Either we believe in Jesus' words or we don't. So he wants us to center on who Jesus is. He is the bread of life. The Word became flesh. And here in the Eucharist, he comes to us. So our Holy Father is calling for reflection on how we celebrate Mass, and particularly how we have the 50th anniversary of Vatican II on October 11th. I talked a little bit about that last Sunday, just to recap some things. Pope John the 23rd was elected in October of 1958. And then in January 25th of 59, just 3 months into his pontificate, he calls for a council. Again, many to shock the world. Such a bold move. His advisors told him it would take 5 years to have a council. He said, I'll give you 3. So we have the beginning of Vatican Council II on October 11th, 1962. What else was happening in 1962 in October? Anybody recall the world stage, what was happening perhaps down south of Miami? The island called Cuba. The Cuban Missile Crisis was underway. Russia was looking to put nuclear bases into Cuba. President Kennedy was blockading them. The world was coming to a decision. Would there be a world war, a nuclear world war? Many people don't know. I just found out. I've heard about it, but I looked it up. President Kennedy sent a message to Pope John the 23rd, asking for his assistance, anything he can do. So he wrote a prayer, and he published it in all the languages, asking for peace, asking for the world powers to step back from the brink of war, to be men of peace. Well, this gave Khrushchev a chance to step back and out of this situation. He said, I'll be the man of peace. And nuclear war was perhaps averted at that time. That was the beginning of the council. Our Holy Father, as I mentioned last week in his address to the council, was very optimistic. But these are the dawning days of the church. But then things changed very quickly. One of the first things the council did with that 3-year preparation, all the work that was done to start the council, they threw it out. They said, we'll start from scratch. They were signaling to the Pope's man, the Curia, we want this to be our council. We don't want your influence. The United Bishops and the council will decide what the council will talk about. And so that first year was still a year of finding themselves. They'll eventually write 16 documents. But that first year they just dealt with 2 documents very quickly. One was on social communication, not very long. It deals with the church and the public sphere, that the church should be in the media in all its forms, and that Catholics are obligated to read, to be up on the news, both the secular news and religious Catholic news, to promote Catholic press. This is what I've been trying to do here at St. Mary's, by promoting The Wanderer, one of the best Catholic newspapers in the United States. Autoratus Bulletin deals with liturgical matters. But the Pope at that time was asking for all forms of social communication to be an avenue of evangelization, to reach out to everyone through all forms of communication. Well, this is something else I've been trying to do. Perhaps you've heard of the internet. To quote Homer Simpson's, they have that on computers now. For the past 15 years, I've been the webmaster of the parish's websites. The diocese has a website. The Vatican has a wonderful website. All the documents there at your fingertips. The U.S. bishops have a website. They have published the new catechism in an e-book form. E-book. You've got to get used to these new terms. It's coming. It's here. Newspapers are no longer being read by the young. There's no subscribers. Everything has gone digital. And so the church has to be on the forefront of these new forms of communication. Internet TV. Who watches internet TV? That's coming too. Broadcast TV is fading away too, like the newspapers. So these things are happening in the world, and the church is encouraging Catholics to be up on these things. The second document dealt with the liturgy, how we celebrate Mass. I asked one of my professors, who was a nun, who studied Vatican II, why of all the areas of concern did they deal with the liturgy first? And she simply said, because they thought it would be the easiest. Well, it turned out it was probably the most complicated of all the issues, and we'll be talking more about the complications that arise from that document. The document itself is wonderful, but it was written in a way that was open-ended. It made suggestions of what some of the reforms could be. The Pope should start a commission. There should be a committee for this. The priest may do this. The priest may do that. A lot of maze in this document. Not calling for it, but it could happen. And so the Pope established a commission called a concilium. I'll talk more about that in the future. But it was the concilium that gave us the Mass that we have today. What else happened in 1963? Well, they came to Pope John the 23rd and said, "We need you to answer a question about the morality of this new drug." This new drug was very influential, but they didn't know much about it. So they asked the Pope about whether it was moral to take this drug or not. The date of the drug release was May 9, 1960, a day that should live in infamy, because it was the birth control pill, chemical contraception. And so Pope John the 23rd was looking into this. He formed a secret commission of experts, asking them to advise him on this. That commission will play out in the next 5 years, and I'll talk more about it when Paul VI releases his final decision on that birth control pill. But then suddenly in June, Pope John the 23rd dies, and Paul VI is elected. What else happened in 63? Well, November, I believe it's the 22nd, it might be the 23rd. What happened on that date in 1963? Kennedy was shot. Our president was killed. Earlier that month, and a lot of people don't know this, earlier that month, another world president was killed. The last name, if I'm pronouncing it right, Min. He was the president of South Vietnam. Him and his brother were assassinated by a CIA-led coup. Our government did that. Then Vietnam escalated. The war protests broke out, the race riots with the killing of Reverend Martin Luther King and John F. Kennedy. The whole decade was very, very interesting. It began very quietly but ended very uproariously. And in the midst of that, the council was meeting. In the midst of that, the liturgy was being formed. So our Holy Father is asking for us to take a look at this, to see what is going on. One of the things that was going on in the background is the power play within the Vatican. Remember I said that they threw out all the preparatory material and started afresh? Well, that was caused by the bishops of Germany and Northern Europe. There's a wonderful book on this called "The Rhine Flows into the Tiber." Tiber is the river in Rome. The Rhine is in Germany. And these German bishops and Northern bishops of Europe had a great influence of how the council was formed, but also the aftermath. And some of them were saying that this council was a rupture in church's teachings, that everything was new. It's a discontinuity with what went before. If anything was before, we want to stop it. Well, one of the German bishops objected. His name was Ratzinger. He became cardinal, and now he is our pope. And in 2005, he laid forth his plan for the interpretation of Vatican II. He said it was not a rupture, but it must be interpreted with what went before. We must interpret everything as a continuity, even the Mass and how we celebrate the Mass. because everything, as John the 23rd says, hinges on who Jesus is and how we understand what we do here Sunday after Sunday, because we come forward saying amen to Jesus, saying amen to his body and blood, his soul and his divinity, and that takes faith. And that's what we are all about.